Psalm. We're going to go to the 16th Psalm for our text this morning. While you're turning, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we count it a privilege to be in your house. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your watchful care. Has been testified in saying, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. We thank you for your goodness and your watchful care. Now help us as we look into your word this morning, that you would quicken our mind by your Spirit, that you'll help us, Lord, by the help of your Spirit, take the word to the hearts that need it today. Help us, Lord, in this time that we're in. We'll give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I like Sister Reidenball's testimony of the mattress example of our circumstances. If you're above the circumstances, it's like lying on top of the mattress. If you're under them, it's like the mattress lying on you. Well, I can tell you this, we are affected by the times that we're in. Amen? We are affected by what's going on around us and in our life. And I know this is some discouraging times in a lot of ways. Some in our personal lives, some of what's going on, plus in the big picture. And I know this has been a familiar theme. But I also find that discouragement is one of the greatest battles we face today. It's one of my greatest battles. And as I talk and as I observe, I know discouragement is one of the greatest battles Christians are facing. Listen to me. Discouragement is an enemy of your soul. Do you hear me? Discouragement's an enemy of your soul. It'll cause you to lose your faith. It'll cause you to lose your joy. It'll cause you to lose your zeal for the things of God. I'm of an absolute opinion that the path we're on only leads to two places as a society and a nation. Either we're heading to judgment, or we're heading to revival. I don't know the timings, but I don't see in reading history and reading God's word a third path. I think we're either going to be revived or as a nation, as a society, or we're going to face the wrath of God. And in a time when the things of God ought to be intensely important, discouragement has caused many to lose their joy and, by extension, lose their zeal for the things of God. In the very time where it's life and death, it really is. And the future of our kids, the future of our grandkids, this stuff is life and death. At that time, when we're facing either judgment or revival, amen, when the things of God ought to be intensely important to us, discouragement's causing many to lose their joy and their zeal for the work of God. And the work of God is suffering from this loss today. I want to challenge us. Don't lose your zeal. Don't lose your zeal. Amen? Zeal is enthusiastic devotion. You ever seen somebody really behind their team? They're really, really engaged. You see some people really behind their political candidate? Enthusiasm, devotion, right? There's a warmth or an intensity of feeling or affection for the cause. Another word the Bible uses is fervent. That has the idea of burning with zeal and enthusiasm. Hot, glowing, fiery. Amen? Don't lose your zeal for the things of God. Or if you have, let's work on getting it back. I chose the text out of Psalm 16 and 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Thou show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. I chose this passage because I believe there's a really close relationship between joy and zeal. Joy is what leads to enthusiasm and zeal oftentimes. What we delight in, we're enthusiastic about. What our heart's in, we're enthusiastic about. A real joy in the Lord leads to enthusiastic devotion and zeal. Amen? Our loss of joy and our loss of zeal, and I'm going to tell you what, I'm talking not just in the big picture, I'm talking locally, our zeal for the things of God could be stronger. Is that fair? I mean, honest folks, our zeal for the things of God could be stronger. But I also feel that one of the core underlying reasons is that we've allowed what's going on to rob us of a lot of our joy. We're not experiencing the joy of the Lord in the same way that we ought to be. Amen?
Amen.
Our loss of joy and our loss of zeal for the things of God often go hand in hand. This great salvation is to produce joy in our life. Amen?
Yes.
You can't read the New Testament without understanding this salvation should. That don't mean we don't have times of sadness. It don't mean we don't have times of sorrow. But it does mean, as a general tenor of life, joy ought to be an integral part of our Christian experience. Amen? But that joy has to be fought for. Just like you have to fight for your faith. Faith is an absolute essential to your Christian experience. But it isn't automatically there all the time. It's something you have to give attention to. Often you have to battle Satan for. Satan battles to steal your joy, just like he battles to steal your faith. Amen? We need to do battle. When we find we are lacking in joy, when we find we're lacking in zeal, it ought to set off alarms in our head. Amen? It ought to set off alarms that something ain't right. We need to do battle for our joy, for our zeal. Joy in the Christian life comes from knowing God's love and care for us. Amen? That's where joy comes from. Not everything going on around us, not how things are going in every facet of our life, but deep-seated joy comes by knowing God loves me and cares about me. Amen? Psalms 5 and 11 says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Behold, God's my salvation. I'll trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall we draw waters out of the well of salvation." Amen? With joy, we're drawing joy out of the well of salvation. Our salvation is to be a well from which we can be refreshed and have our joy restored. Amen? It's by our trust in God that we find our strength and find our song. Amen? Our joy of the Lord is what causes us to have confidence and faith in the face of trouble. Isaiah 51 and 11 says, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, that hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy." And where is the fury of the oppressor? You know what I'm saying? Get your eyes above it. Look at God. Amen?
Amen.
Just as we have to battle for our faith, we often have to battle for our joy. Well, how do we do battle? First of all, take care of any issues in your own life. Okay? Attack all known sin in your life. Guilt is a destroyer of joy. You cannot continue to do things you know don't please God and expect to have the joy of salvation in your life. Guilt will take out all the joy of your salvation. Amen? Strive in everything, everywhere, all the time to live a life that's pleasing to God. John 15:9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and your joy might be full." What's he saying? He said, hey, this is the path. Live the way you know you ought to live. Do what you know you ought to do. Stay away from the things you know you ought to stay away from. Amen? And he said, "I've spoken this so your joy can be full." We live in a time when, man, so much stuff is excused in a Christian life. There is. It's so much allowance made for our humanity that it almost disregards the power of salvation completely. But this I know, no matter what anybody teaches, the guilt of unrepentant, tolerated sin will destroy the joy of your salvation. I don't care what your theology is, the reality is, when you sin, your joy goes away until you take care of it. Amen? Discouragement and disappointment can cause us to lose our fervor for holiness in our own life. You know this, and you know this by experience. When you feel sorry for yourself, when things have gone wrong, when you're down, you ain't looking to be hard on yourself. You're looking to, well, you deserve a break, right? Discouragement and disappointment can cause us to become self-focused. And when we become self-focused again, red lights ought to go off. Self-pity is a common experience of all of us. All of us visit there when things go wrong. But you can't stay there. Amen? If you stay there, the down spiral of that indulgence will bring spiritual ruin, because the essence of a sinful life is selfishness, a self-focused life. That's the essence of a sinful life. It isn't just the do's and don'ts, it's the motive behind it. Amen? And a Christian's life is typified by wanting to please God in everything, because we love Him above everything. Amen? People that don't follow God aren't out just trying to be evil. Think of the people you know that don't know God. They ain't out just trying to be evil. They're not trying to be bad people. What are they doing? They're doing what they want to do, right? They are doing what pleases them in their own choices. Self is the essence of sinfulness. The choice to please self rather than please God is the essence of sin. Therefore, when we find, and that's one of the things, the curse of this generation and the last couple of decades is so me-focused. I mean, it is so me. That ain't good, folks. That ain't good to evaluate everything in terms of me and how it affects me, to want everybody's approval on me, to want everybody to see what I did and who I am and have their approval. That is detrimental to one's mental health and certainly detrimental to your spiritual health. The first step, though, to maintaining your joy and zeal or reclaiming your joy and zeal is keep your conscience clean. That ought to go without saying, but I felt, because of the times we live in, I felt like we need to put that in there, folks. It's essential. You ain't going to have joy indulging yourself in a way that you know doesn't please God. Amen? Keep the way clean. The next step is seek the presence of God. Our text says, "Thou show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there's pleasures forevermore." It's the presence of God that brings joy. Amen? Our battle in maintaining our joy and our battle in maintaining our faith is often the same thing. It's a battle to see God for who He really is. Amen? Brother Sam mentioned God wanting His glory. Why does God want His glory? What is God's glory, by the way? What's God's glory? Well, every time the Old Testament showed it, it was His attributes. It was His love, His kindness, His mercy, His fairness, His holiness, His goodness, right? That's God's glory. Why does God want people to see His glory? Because He wants people to see Him as He really is. That's the whole battle, of seeing God as He really is, rather than the distorted picture that the world paints and Satan paints. Amen? And oftentimes religion paints. But remind yourself of who God really is. Pray. When you find yourself battling for joy and faith, pray for an open heart and open eyes. In fact, that's a good thing to make part of your daily prayers. God, open my eyes that I can see who You really are. Amen. Open my understanding so I can know who You really are and what You're like. Amen. 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 Remind yourself who God is. He's the mighty creator of the universe, first of all. Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" Isaiah 40 and 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, meted out the heavens with a span, comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in a balance? Who directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, who taught him? With whom took he counsel? Or who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Yeah, he said, hey, God's above it all, before it all. He knows everything there is to know. He has all wisdom. He has all knowledge. Ain't nobody taught him. He ain't learning anything. He always has, always will know everything. Amen? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. The count of the small dust of the balance. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon's not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. They're counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will you liken God, and what likeness will you compare unto him? There's nothing in this universe like God. We see the forces of evil, and in our society, they are strong. Amen? They own education. They own the media. Amen? They're embedded in politics. They're forces of evil. Are strong when we just look at it from a human standpoint. But I tell you what, compared to God, they ain't nothing. This whole world ain't nothing compared to God. Hey, you ever go out, you ever look at a picture of the Milky Way and how big our solar system is in the Milky Way and how big our Earth is in our solar system, how big the sun is, which is a minor star, by the way, and all that vast array out there? And we ain't, like I said, less than the dust on the scale. And us little feeble humans on this planet, thinking we're something. We need to get our eyes open to who God really is. Our God still reigns. He created it with a word. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows when the end is, and ain't nobody else knows it or ever will. He alone knows when the end is. And when he's accomplished his purposes, then the end will come, and not before that. And it'll come by his doings, not by our doings. Amen? Amen. There's nothing anywhere in the universe that can be compared to God. And yet this God chose to make us in his image so that he could relate to us. Amen? So he could know us. And in spite of our arrogance and selfishness, he has chosen to be merciful to us. All of it on his initiative, not ours. 1 Kings 8:23, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven or above or on the earth beneath, who keeps covenant and mercy with his servants that walk before him with thee with all their hearts. There ain't nobody like God faithful for those who follow him. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passes by the transgression of the for the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Now, these are all Old Testament, by the way. That's our God. That's the way he's always been.
Yeah.
He's merciful. He's kind. They're saying, who is a God like that? Among all the false gods, who was there among their supposed gods like this, who pardoned iniquity, passed by their transgression, didn't retain his anger? Amen? This is our God. Exodus 34 and 6, when Moses asked to see God, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the children's children, under the third and fourth generation. Our God's merciful, but he's still concerned about what is right. And those that remain unrepentant will face God's judgment and wrath. Amen? It's our God. He's almighty. He's good. He's loving. He's merciful. He's patient. Man, fill your mind with who God is. Amen? Fill your mind with who God is. Be reminded of these things. Amen? Let his love, his goodness, amen, and who he is, lift your spirit and restore your joy and zeal. It's Sometimes, you know what the advantage of coming into church a couple of times a week is? We shut the things of the world out and we're focused on the things of God. What effect does that have on the heart of somebody who loves God? It tends to lift us, doesn't it? It tends to strengthen us. Well, the same thing in your own life. Learn how to lift yourself. Learn how to remind yourself who God is. Learn to take time to focus on God. Meditate on God's Word. Meditate on who He is. Meditate on what He's done. Amen? Read in His Word. Jeremiah 15:16, Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And Thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by Thy name, O Lord of hosts. I tell you what, if you get into His Word and you understand I'm His, I'm one of His children, then the promises and God's goodness will lift your heart. Amen? Psalms 1:1, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bring forth his fruit in season, his leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen? Oh, God, that's a picture of somebody's strength and has all they have. A tree planted by the waters. That person is one who meditates on God and God's Word.
Right.
Psalms 143:5, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all Thy works. I muse on the works of Thy hand. You know what we need to do sometime? This is not my original phrase, it's Dad's, but preach to yourself rather than listen to yourself. In your self-talk, take some time to preach to yourself instead of just listen. You listen to yourself, you're going to tell yourself how bad it is, how rough it is, how unfair it is, how bad life is. Well, do a little preaching to yourself instead of listening all the time. Amen? We can rehearse our own problems, or we can preach God's Word to ourselves. We need to learn to preach God's Word to ourselves. Say, hey, get a hold of yourself. This is God. I'm His child. This is who He is. Amen? Nehemiah 8:10 says, Then He said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I tell you what, when you really are experiencing the joy of God in your salvation, you're not very much risk of falling. Amen? You're risk of falling when you're experiencing self-pity and discouragement and woe is me. Be not risk of falling. You're strong. Amen? He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hey, that is our strength in the battles of life, in the temptations of life, all the way through. It's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. Amen? Be patient. When times are dark and God seems absent, we read this in Job lots of times, the 23rd chapter of Job, 8th verse. Behold, I go forward, He's not there. Backwards, I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand, where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. You know, Job's saying, in Job's trouble, said, he said, I went forward, I went backward, I looked on my left and the right, and I ain't seen God nowhere. I ain't seen God working nowhere. Nothing in what was going on around Job was saying, hey, here's God. Here's what He's doing. You know, listen to Job. This is why he's held up through all the centuries of time as an example of faith. But He knoweth the way I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hey, God didn't promise you'd always feel Him. He didn't promise you'd always see the path. He didn't promise you'd always know what's going on. What He promised was, I will be with you. I will guide you. I will help you. Amen?
Amen.
And if we stay steady, we'll find that promise is faithful. Do battle for the joy in your life. Do you hear me? Do battle for the joy in your life. This is a little bit extra. I'll throw it in. But take care of yourself physically. Your physical will affect your spiritual life. You know that. You get sick, you're hurting. It affects you spiritually as well as physically. So, if you want to do battle for your joy, get your rest, exercise, and the proper diet that your body was designed for, and it will enhance your ability to experience the joy of the Lord spiritually. That make sense? I didn't say what that was. I just said, do what you know you ought to do. If you take care of yourself in the way you ought to take care of yourself physically, it will help you spiritually as well. Amen? Our text says, thou wilt show me the path of life, and the presence in thy presence is fullness of joy, and thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Joy comes from the presence of the Lord. And as I've been saying, to have joy, we need to cultivate the presence of God and an awareness of His presence. Amen? Who you spend time with will affect your both your spiritual awareness and your joy in the Lord. If you spend a lot of time with people who are doubters, people who undermine faith, people who continually talk negative, people who just see gloom and doom, it's going to affect you, folks. Yeah. Amen? That don't mean you have to quit work and run away from your relatives. What it does mean, purpose to spend time with people who are saturated with God and is going to help you fight the fight for joy. If you can safely be here, you ought to be here. If you can't safely be here, you ought to be listening in. And as I said, we've bought a few things this week. We're getting closer to helping everybody be able to, that can't be here, enjoy the song service and the other part of the service. But folks, I'm telling you, we need each other. In this day and time we're in, we need each other. Amen? If you don't feel like you need it, maybe you ought to be the one bringing the joy. Maybe the rest of us needs you to be bringing the joy in that we need. Amen? Spend time with people saturated with God. Another method of doing that, one that I really like, is to read the biographies of great saints. People who lived in times before us. Not every time's been like ours. There's been better and there's been worse. In many ways, a lot of times have been worse than ours in different times. Read about the saints of God that persevered. Read how they conquered the battle for their faith and the battle for their joy. Most of the songs we have written in this book, and it's on all the books that are here, most of those songs are written by people who had more adverse circumstances than you do. And yet they express great joy. Amen. Be inspired by their faith and their joy and their zeal. And then finally, one of the best ways I know of to keep from becoming self-focused is to pour yourself out in service and ministry to others. Be a witness to those around you. Amen. Talk. Hey, if you're full of the things of God, it's natural to talk about them. I mean, in our home, that is a natural conversation. It ain't forced. It ain't preaching. We talk about God. We talk about what's going on with the influence of God and in the context of God's world. Talk about what's going on in the church. Talk about what's going on in the world, but in that context, talk about God. Amen. Witness about God's love and His faithfulness and His goodness. He's been good to us far better than we deserve, folks, honest. I know we have our frustrations, we have our things that don't go well, but He's still been better than we deserve. Amen. Witness to both the saved and the unsaved. One of the best ways to get started learning how to talk about God is to talk to fellow believers. Amen? Does two things. One, it helps you experience how to talk about God naturally and how to thank Him and how to talk about God in your life where you know it's going to be well received. Amen? But your fellow believers may also be battling for their faith and joy and zeal, and your witnessing may be what lifts them. Amen? Talk to those that don't know the Lord. I don't try and get in a whole message of salvation every time I talk to somebody. Oftentimes, I just want to piqued their interest a little bit. Talking about God's goodness to me. Talking about how God's helped me in life. Amen? Witness to those around. No, not just, don't rehearse a bunch of verses and rehearse some canned speech. Just talk. If you're living with God every day and you're walking with God every day, it should be top of mind you can talk about God. Amen? It comes naturally. If that's what you've been thinking about for the last hour, it comes naturally to talk about it when your mind, something comes up in conversation that sparks that. Amen?
Yes.
Dig deep enough in the well of salvation to bring hope to the desperate world around you. Our world's desperate for hope. There ain't much hope anywhere about anything. Well, dig deep enough in the wells of salvation that you can bring hope and joy to those that are desperate for it. Dedicate yourself to the work of God. We're at some point, I feel week to week, there's a lot of times, you know, it's like you bring somebody in the emergency room, they may have some underlying problems, but you've got to take care of the life-threatening ones right now. And a lot of Sundays, I feel like we spend a lot of time getting the IV in and trying to keep people alive. But there's a place to, at some point, we need to talk about the kingdom of God and our obligation to work in the kingdom of God. Amen? What that means, what it looks like. We are called to be workers in the kingdom of God, to advance the kingdom of God, to spread this gospel. Amen? Dedicate yourself to the work of God collectively, because the body of Christ is not one part, but many. Amen? So we're not all called to be lone rangers out here. We're called to be part of a body, working together in harmony to advance the kingdom of God. Fight the fight. Fight the fight for your joy. Amen? If you find yourself, now that don't mean you won't have a bad day, don't mean you ain't going to be discouraged, but if you find yourself living for a period of days and even weeks without an experience of the joy of salvation, then something's wrong. Something's wrong, folks. Just as much as if we're walking in a way that doesn't please God. Because we're not honoring God with our self-pity and our lack of joy. Amen? We're not rightly portraying salvation. I'm not trying to beat you up, folks. I'm trying to help us. I'm scared to death. As I look around and I see what's happened the last 6 months, I'm scared to death some people in our midst are in danger of losing out with God. And it's these kind of issues. It ain't the drugs, the alcohol, and that that's getting people. It's discouragement and disillusionment. That's what's taking its toll. And then one thing leads to another. Amen? Habakkuk 3:17 says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Habakkuk had been told by God in the previous chapters that he was bringing judgment. He didn't say if, he said, God said, I'm bringing judgment. And Habakkuk said, even though we don't have a harvest, even though the herds and the flocks are cut off, the olive, the fig tree, the fields don't produce, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. It don't all have to go your way to have joy. It don't all have to go my way to have joy. It don't all have to work out the way we wished it would to experience the joy of salvation. Many, many, in fact, most people who have served God from the time of Christ till now have not had a whole bunch of life go their way. Most Christians have been poor. Now, we're not talking about the last 50 years, folks. I'm talking about the general tenor. Even when Jesus said, hey, tell John, the gospel is preached to the poor. That's how you know I'm the real Christ. Because that's who historically has responded to the gospel. Most Christians have suffered persecution. We live in a very exceptional time. That's what makes America so exceptional, is the freedom we have. And that freedom, the foundation of that was a freedom to follow our own conscience and worship God freely. Amen? And all the other freedoms spring from that, or are a protection of that. Most people haven't enjoyed that. It's a precious gift we've been given that we ought to fight to death to hang on to. Amen? But if we ain't even fighting to keep the joy of the Lord in our own life, the rest of the battle's already lost anyhow, folks. Amen? Keep your joy. I want to challenge you. Let your joy lead to zeal and enthusiasm about the things of God. But you ain't going to have zeal and enthusiasm if you ain't got joy. Amen? You get worked up. I say, you've been there. I've been there. We get a little noise going. We get people hopping, and 5 minutes out the door, it's gone. Well, I want the joy of the Lord to be something you don't come and get, but something you bring in here. Amen? Something that comes with you when you come in. Now, maybe times we need a little boost. Well, that's good, because most of us ordinarily should be bringing it. So if you need it, you should be able to come and get your joy filled back up. Amen? May God help us. Ask you to stand as we close the verse of song. Heavenly Father, I thank you.